and welcome to the ADHD Manual Podcast. My name is Abby Chow. I'm a marriage and family therapist, an ADHD certified clinical services provider, and a proud ADHDer. This is a podcast for people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and those who love us, which covers pretty much everybody. Growing up with a colorful brain and a black and white world can make us feel like aliens. The manual we were given to guide us through life doesn't have any diagrams of the parts we have. I've decided to stop throwing away my parts and start throwing away this useless manual to write my own. So kick off your shoes, have a seat, and take a break from fitting yourself into a mold that's not your shape. You belong here. Allies, welcome to the ADHD planet. ADHDers, welcome home. Hello everyone, it's me, I'm back. And yeah, hope you're all doing well. I'm doing fine. It's a pretty busy month. My birthday is this month. I won't tell you how old I'm turning, but it's significant. And I am currently preparing a presentation, kind of an educational workshop or a presentation to give to some mental health therapists on ADHD. So that's coming up very soon. I'm working on that. And yeah, if you're hoping to expand on that as well. So if you're interested in someone to coming to talk more about ADHD to your workplace or group or whatever, let me know. I'm enjoying working on it and I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, that's what's coming up ahead. I thought today maybe I could talk a little bit about working memory. And then more like on a broader scale, I'm wondering if it might be useful to do something, some sort of like a series, or maybe it can be something that I come back to intermittently or all in order, I haven't decided yet, on executive function. Which is very frequently impacted in ADHD, our executive functions, because the parts of the brain that ADHD affects are very huge in, basically executive function is anything you do on purpose, your brain does on purpose. So, and kind of like, big picture and intentional action stuff, organizing, planning, prioritizing, working memory, even emotional inhibition and regulation is an executive function. So anything that you're that might fall under your brain's like management sphere. And I'm thinking that might be good to maybe have several episodes that focus on each one of them. How many there are is kind of, varied. Some people say that there are 7, others say there are many more, it kind of depends how you categorize them. So I thought today we could talk about working memory, and then go from there and talk about what that means, how it's, how working memory looks in people with ADHD, and a little bit about that. Okay, so first, what do I even mean when I say working memory? So I think I have talked about working memory before, in past episodes. So this might be a review. I will admit I don't remember how much I've gone over it in the past. So we'll see, but I will talk about it more explicitly and say a little bit about what it is. So when we think of memory, we often kind of divide it into like short-term and long-term memory, right? And we don't often think about what other types of memory we use. You know, like we say short-term memory to mean like something that happened recently or yesterday. Then long-term memory to remember something that happened a long time ago. But what about the things that are in between? Like, what do we do with memories when we actually are using them and accessing them and, utilizing a memory to apply to our current day? And that's what working memory is. It's basically, there's there's a lot of processes involved with working memory, but a lot of times you'll see it divided into two different types, which is verbal and nonverbal working memory. So often people will, I use a metaphor quite frequently when talking about verbal and nonverbal working memory, and probably a lot of the metaphors I'll use, I have said them in past episodes, and I'm just going to say them again as if it's the first time. So, you know, that's what's great about ADHD and working memory, right? Is that it's always new. never gets old. So basically what I use to describe these two different types of working memory are like a GPS, like on your phone. Or does anyone even have those actual like GPS devices anymore? I don't think I've seen one of those in like years. But anyway, so the verbal working memory is like the voice navigation of a GPS, right? It tells you turn left or take a U-turn, you know, something like that. And it gives you step-by-step instructions. And then I've heard some people refer to this as like an internal monologue, something that's kind of like walking you through what you're doing while you're doing it. And then nonverbal working memory is basically like the maps of a GPS. So like the maps that they store to access to tell you where to go, you know, like they can tell you where to go because the GPS, I don't know, satellites or something, have like a picture of the map, the big picture, so that they can see, you know, oh, that's where it is, this is where you are, and these are the ways to get there, you know? So you have to have, the GPS has to have a big picture in you know, in its, I don't know, capability or I don't know what a brain is for a GPS, but it has to have it to access so it can tell us where to go. So basically that's what our brain does, is that while, for example, like multi-step processes, like baking, it kind of, you're able to hold the big picture in your mind of a recipe or maybe, let's see, what are the things that you hold in mind? So something that you're making, so it can hold the big picture of the recipe of what you're making at the same time that you're thinking about each individual ingredient. So another way that I describe working memory frequently that I'm sure I've said before, but I love it, is like working memory is like the pantry of your brain. So it's like a shelf that keeps things accessible while you're still using it. So, you know, like you, in a kitchen, you might have a pantry or a cupboard of things that you use frequently, that you need on hand, flour, sugar, salt, etc. So with ADHD, it's like your pantry's in the attic. So yeah, you can bake cookies, right? It's fine. It's doable. You know, you can go up, you know, to the attic and get each ingredient at a time, you know, and you can only carry like one at a time. But it's really exhausting because you have to do each one very consciously. And then of course that's not even including how difficult it is to kind of, to literally remember the recipe as you're doing it. It's hard for us to do both at once. And a lot of times neurotypical people don't realize how easily their brain can do something like that. Of course, it's work for all of us. I mean, that's what executive function is for the most part. It takes conscious effort, but for us, it takes a lot more. So this makes a lot of sense when you're when you see people with ADHD who struggle with remembering multiple instructions, for example. So you might tell your kid, you know, go brush your teeth and put on your pajamas. And, you know, they come back and they have only done one of those or half of one, you know, they come back with pajama pants on, but no shirt, you know. So this is because it is so difficult for us to really hold on to each part of your instructions. A lot of times, like everyone, but neurotypical people especially, really sometimes miss how many steps there are in one instruction, You know, so like go brush your teeth is not just a one-step process, right? It's go upstairs, downstairs, down the hall, whatever. It's turn on the sink, wet your toothbrush, put toothpaste on it, put it in your mouth, keep it in there for a certain amount of time, not getting distracted and doing something else. It's, you know, just trying to do all of those things in order and remember where you're going. So it's a lot of steps in one thing. And so it makes sense if we struggle with working memory and we struggle with keeping that picture of like, where are we going, that we're going to have a lot of trouble with that. It also explains why, I mean, task initiation, you know, getting started on task is another executive function that, maybe we'll talk about someday, but, it's another reason why it's really hard for us to start tasks is because part of what working memory does is that it holds an image of where you're going, you know, both literally in your head, like visually, but also abstractly. You know, it kind of holds the concept and the finish line that you're going for. So if your brain struggles with that, then every task is basically like, you know, just driving into the dark in the rain with no headlights, you know, very difficult to see where you're going and very overwhelming because, you know, I don't even know what turns are available to me, let alone which turn to take. So, I think this makes a lot of sense with where we get very stuck. And, I think learning about working memory was a real eye opener for me because, I'd always really struggled with memory, but was not able to really say, like, you know, I couldn't explain why I could, you know, I can like quote almost every Office episode, like beginning to end, but, things like how to boil an egg just don't stick. You know, I couldn't really find like an easy way to explain why some things were more difficult for me than others. And so learning about this kind of something besides the typical, you know, memory store and recall, that's kind of like it's more complex than this, but as we know it, it's a two-step process. You know, you store it, you recall it. Whereas working memory is where I tend to really suffer because it's not something as simple as recalling it. It's something that you need to also manipulate the information at the same time. You know, you're boiling an egg and, working memory is what enables you to think like, oh, well, I have to boil water. I have to put eggs in it, you know, and then all the other ways that you boil an egg within that. Working memory is what helps you, like, you know, say, oh, what size pot do I need? How much water do I need? How many eggs should I boil? You know, all those little things that require your active participation rather than just parroting it back. So in my search to find out some more about working memory, I found something else that was really cool in helping to describe what it does exactly. As well as shine some light about why people with ADHD in particular really struggle with it. So I came across this way that of describing what happens with, or one of the sub-processes of working memory. I came across an article that described it as like using like gate closing and gate opening switching, like switching between those things. And so what they mean by that is like gate opening, that part of your working memory is like allowing new information to come in and filter in like what's relevant and then manipulate that perception in your mind because new information is now available to you. You know, gate opening is when you're saying like, oh, well, I should really use a larger pot, but I only have a smaller pot. The other one's in the wash. And, you know, I need some salt. Where is that? I have to recall that, you know, like it's not just something that's all in front of me. It's something that really needs to, I need more information. And then gate closing is what's happening when you are filtering out irrelevant stimuli and information. You know, it's that thing that you're trying to boil eggs, but there's, you know, the pot's in the sink. And, you know, people whose, you know, working memory is stronger with that gate closing aspect can say, like, okay, I'm not going to wash that. I'm going to boil my eggs first and then wash it. But we, this is why we tend to be like, you know, we tend to kind of, you know, do leapfrogging chores and stuff like that, right? We go to boil an egg, but the pot's in the sink. So we start washing the dishes, but we realize we're out of dish soap. So we go to the cupboard and we like discover that the cupboard is missing paper towels. So we go to get paper towels. And, you know, it's like we follow things everywhere because we have trouble switching from gate opening, allowing more relevant information to come in and change my course of action, and gate closing. I have my course of action. Now I have to stay on it. So reading about that was really helpful, as well as reading about what parts of the brain are required for those sub-processes of working memory, right? Which is the prefrontal cortex and the basal ganglia, both of which are the areas of the brain, two of the four areas of the brain that are strongly impacted by ADHD. And not just those parts of the brain, but also the pathways between them are how we use those sub-processes of working memory, how we remember and recall instantly and simultaneously. And guess what those pathways run on? Dopamine. So I read that and I was like, oh, right, okay. So it all kind of started to make sense. So in summary, what I just want to say is, like, working memory is kind of the thing that's in between or a different subset of short and long-term memory. It's the memory that you use while you're actually using it. And it's that kind of, it's what helps you keep information accessible and easily adjustable while still remaining stable in what you're trying to do. So stability and flexibility are both equally required and at the same time. And it's important to be able to fluctuate between those things easily. And that's what enables you to engage your working memory effectively. You know, you going from, you know, remembering I'm boiling an egg, that's all I'm doing, you know, nothing more. And then also, this is information relevant to boiling an egg, and I'm letting it in, and I'm changing my course of action based on this new information. I have no salt, you know, so I'm just going to have to go without it. The perfect size pot is in the wash, so I'll just have to use one larger or one smaller. Things like that. So, and, you know, the parts of the brain and pathways in the brain that impacts is the little road between the prefrontal cortex and basal ganglia, which runs on dopamine, which is severely impacted in ADHD. Both are the amount of dopamine our brain produces and our ability to utilize it effectively and keep it around long enough to use it. So that's the nuts and bolts of working memory and how it's impacted by ADHD. Some like very brief tips that I usually use is, you know, try to keep your environment simple. And by that, I mean, a lot of us, especially those who maybe went for a long time without being diagnosed with ADHD, learn to compensate with that with tons of visual cues, right? A desk covered in post-it notes, several planners, you know, several written reminders, several reminders on our phone, you know, and we tend to really try to overcompensate with so many of those. And what I always say to my clients is like, no, you need less. You don't need more reminders. You need less. Or you need to really be conscious about the timing and the placement of those reminders and those cues. You know, trying to intervene at the point of performance. This is what I say all the time. You know, making sure that you put the post-it note right by the thing that you want to do. You know, like put the post-it or the note on your keys if you want to feed the cat before you leave the house. You know, don't put it on your bedroom because there's a lot of steps between your bedroom and feeding the cat. And that's going to be a lot of opportunities to get sidetracked. So making sure that you're timing and placing your reminders so that they're there at the places and the times when your brain needs the most support. So a lot of times you can figure this out by figuring out when do I rack my brain the hardest? You know, I'm trying to think of an example. Here's an example. So one thing that I noticed about myself is that in the morning, I really, I struggle even more so than, you know, later in the afternoon with working memory and recall and figuring out, steps that I'm required to do and in what order and, you know, making decisions basically. So I try to simplify all my decisions when I'm at my weakest working memory wise. So like I set my clothes out the night before, I put my water bottle in the fridge. I do a lot of the work ahead of time so that there is very limited, recall and, gate opening and closing that I have to do. You know, I don't have to go through that whole thing of like, I want to wear this shirt. Oh, it's in the laundry. Oh, I have to wear this shirt instead. You know, oh, it doesn't go with these pants. You know, like I don't have to do all of that, integrating knowledge and using it, as much. So I noticed that's an example of when I was really struggling and when I tried to, accommodate my environment so that it could support me when I'm at my weakest. So things like that, things like, making things easily accessible or visual, whatever that means to you, you know, like, keeping things in your sight as much as you can, see-through boxes for storage, things like, having areas of your house that, like, I know, cause it can be really tough a reason we tend to be very, you know, cluttered is because our brain cannot hold on to the information about all the things that we have if they're not in our, you know, our everyday living sphere. So, we tend to just kind of spread out. We tend to keep everything we need within arm's reach or within our field of vision. And this can feel very overwhelming and cluttering. So, see-through boxes is one way to accommodate that. I did see, some really cool, they're like labels, like stickers, but had like a QR code. So, you could put a label on a box and then scan it. And then it tells you like what's in that box. So you don't have to like go through and half my life is spent looking through boxes for things. So things like that, things that can, what are the things that can store the information and access the information for you? So those are just some little tips, but hope this was helpful. And, would love to maybe talk more about some executive functions. I think we can come back to that. Maybe I'll keep doing that and spend a little more time on each one individually, but that was the lowdown on working memory. Ultimately my biggest message is like, if you struggle with it, like I know that this is one thing that makes me feel really, stupid. It makes me feel silly and it often makes me feel like I'm not as smart as I thought I was. When I have trouble, accessing these memory things, remembering things in the right order and, integrating new information and, baking, cooking, anything. So this is one of the things that gets me really down. And so if that's you also, I want to remind you that, you're not any less intelligent or capable or competent, just because this is something that's very real that you struggle with and that you need accommodation around. So as always, be kind to yourself, be patient. If your loved one has ADHD and you've noticed this come up and them struggle with this, be patient with them. And, you know, try to remind them and try to remind yourself that you're still talented, you're still skilled, you're still very capable, and there is a lot you can accomplish, and it's not your fault that that the world is set up so that we are made to think that these kind of skills are like symbols of education and growth and proper development, when we don't all have the same strengths in those areas. So just remember that you're doing great, you're doing the best you can, and if something's not working, don't beat your brain up, just change your environment. Because you can, you know, you can make it easier on yourself. I think that's okay. I think there's a lot of shame around that, around making things easy and convenient. And so I do want to just emphasize that, like, for us, like, this is an accessibility and an accommodation issue. That convenience is not always convenience, and it's not always, like, laziness. You know, I see a lot of, like, even, you know, just, like, convenient gadgets or tools or apps or whatever. I see some people, like, being like, oh, well, is it really that much work to just do it yourself, or things like that? And so I would just want to, like, really emphasize that, remember that gadgets and tools to make things more accessible are not always about convenience and not always about making things easy and refusing to put in hard work and effort. It's about making things accessible, and it's about making the environment one that can accommodate all skill sets. So just remember, you're good. You're doing good, babe. Keep it up. I'm proud of you. And also remember that these things are going to change, you know, like, something that works for you today that is a great reminder system might not work tomorrow or next week. And that's totally fine. You're going to need variety, and it's okay to change things up. And that's even part of what's really required about having ADHD. That's kind of part of the deal, is that you're going to need to switch it. Because that's what our brain needs. It needs something new, and it needs to, like, you know, change it up. So don't try to remind yourself that there's no shame in making things easy. Remind yourself that there's no shame in, you know, taking more time to complete certain things. There's no shame in outsourcing, if you can, certain tasks. And you're doing great. And there's no shame in having to switch your tools. It's okay if you can't keep up the same routine, the same, you know, tricks, like, day in and day out. That's why we call it a toolbox, right? You can't use a hammer for everything. You can use a hammer for, you know, 6 chores in a row, and it's still not going to work for everyone, because sometimes you need different tools. And that's okay. All right. All right, y'all. See you later, and take care. That's all for this episode, but there is plenty more at my website, theadhdmanual.com. That's theadhdmanual.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit at theadhdmanual. Do you have a question, comment, or story? Then I want to hear it. Email me at theadhdmanual@gmail.com. Very special thank you to my brother, Joe Miner, for composing this theme music, and thank you so much for listening. And remember to be kind to yourself. See you next time.